been for Chris, because the kind of a person he was, we knew the kind of sacrifices he was making in his own personal life to do these things. And so, as I say, we lean very heavily upon him and his recommendations. Sometimes, I have to confess, sometimes kind of blindly. And sometimes, questioningly, and sometimes critically. I already alluded to this matter of changing tactics or shifting gears and so forth and so on. And without having, I dearly wish I could remember specific things. But we'd get a bulletin at times which would indicate a different procedure, or it seemed to indicate a different procedure. And once, and it wasn't just I with the other denominational leaders discussed this on several occasions. Would they work out their strategy, come and tell us what it is, and enlist our support, which we're willing to give? But when we're going one direction, when they thought we had led us that way, we discover that the circumstances required a different approach or something. It meant a re-education thing and a shifting of gears, and so that we would lose integrity with our own people. You know, having told them one thing, one time, not too long before, how do we do it the other way? Chris was very patient in trying to explain to us, but it was even beyond his explanation, it was the fact that it was Chris who said, it's a good thing to do, and this is the reason we need to do it. But I know that I went along with a good deal of it, and I know Walter and others, other denominations, felt his place was the meaningful difference. Now, I don't know if there are any more specifically than that about regarding Chris. He just played a very key role. And Fred has followed in somewhat the same way, although I have not been related to the issue, and I know Fred quite well, of course. But I have not been related in quite the same way as I was in that other role. And the circumstances aren't exactly the same.
They aren't anymore. They aren't the same. Something else that I have been interested in is just structurally the place of the migrant ministry in making possible the church's involvement with the farm worker movement. Do you think that the churches could have been involved in anything like the same way if there had not been that separate entity, the migrant ministry, that was ecumenically funded and so on?
I just don't think so. I just don't think so. Yeah, I really... No, I think it made a decisive difference as to how the churches were related at all. And maybe it was good that we had had those several, I don't know, was it decades? I'm sure it must have been. When we worked through the migrant ministry, helping the poor people who had to come and work in the fields before the whole thing became an organizational matter.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah,
for one thing, a lot of church people and a lot of church women had learned about the conditions of farm workers,
absolutely.
Although they may not have ever seen a farm worker.
Absolutely. No, I think it performed an absolutely essential ministry, both in its former life, that required a different kind of action in those days. But when it became disillusioning for some, to be sure, to find that the style of the ministry was changing, that did cause for some reaction. I have to confess to that among some of our churches who threw up their hands saying, we could support it when it was doing the other thing.
When it was doing good.
Yeah, when it was doing good for the people.
Yes.
But not when they began to be politically active. And even though it was said that we are continuing to do those things for the people and we still need the help, the shift was so dramatic and so pronounced that I'm sure that most of our churches lost track of the fact that there was any other ministry than the political action one.
Do you think it was hard for people in UCC churches, in this conference anyway, to be involved in the support of a union? Do you think that union feelings entered into the picture?
Yes, I'm sure. I don't know quite how to express this because it's one of these broad brush strokes here that really won't be accurate. The Congregational Church is a mixture today. It's a wild mixture of all kinds of things. In fact, after these 25 years or so, the United Church has declined quite a bit in size. We're not one of the larger denominations even then. We once had about 2 million people. I think we're down to about 1.5 million. We're way out of proportion in terms of our involvement in things. It just seems to be our nature. And we've become quite a collection of ethnic groups and all the freedom movement groups, the women's liberation groups have been very pronounced in our fellowship, as has the gay caucus. One of our continuing discussions when we get together is, can we ever get this all together? I don't think we ever will because we're so heterogeneous now that we're going to protect. We're going to continue to struggle and rock along, but still doing what we feel needs to be done. But we also seem to have we are not by and large a working class church. That bothers me some. Well, it bothers me a good deal. I'd like to have more of everybody in. But what I mean is that you tend to get a pretty high educational level. People who have to become leaders in the communities wherever they are. Now, that's not true of our denomination alone, but I'm just saying it's pretty characteristic of our church. And you do have some communities where you're dealing with some people who may be at a lower economic level. I can think of several. But I'm saying, by and large, even in those communities, you're apt to have the school teachers or the lawyers or the people who, if they're going to go to church at all, may tend to come to our kind of group. Now, in that kind of a structure, where there is not a heavy blue-collar constituency, except for some of the academic types, and there are quite a few of those, there is a kind of an antipathy to union movement. I don't mean that they're all corporate leaders or business leaders and so forth. But I tend to feel that as I move among our churches. I served for about 9 years in San Mateo, and in that community with a pretty high educational level. I don't think the issue ever came up specifically, and we dealt with all kinds of social issues, but you could just have a kind of a feeling that unionism wasn't one of their major lights. Maybe that's an understatement of all. And so when you have a group of people, I don't know, maybe we're no different than anybody else. Maybe we like to have groups of people who are not so well off so that we can do our benevolence thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people do.
But when it moves into more of a political action, that kind of a thing, a lot of our people have problems.
I know you have other things to do, and I will need to hit the road pretty soon. But there was one last thing that I wanted to ask you, and that was, Walter did tell me that sometime in the 70s, the annual conference did meet and did make a decision to withdraw support from something to do with that. I don't know whether it was Jim's salary or whether it was the was the Liegert Ministry, but it was just about the time that Walter said he himself got John Moyer from New York out here and introduced him. So it must have been early 70s. Introduced him, and he said as some of the financial support left from here, it increased from there, and that did tickle him. He said.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
I was wondering if you might remember when that was.
Gosh. Why don't we always preserve these records and remembrances so well?
Would it have been before that big general conference, do you think?
Where
the plane load came out. So.
No, I think we were still aboard things then. I'm afraid I can say yes. I remember with Walter that did take place. Some of our revenue had been declining a bit, partly because of social issues, not just these, but other things over the years. And it wasn't just our denomination at that time. We were all going through the same, squeezing the things. And in that mix, I was surprised how long we were able to hold on and give support, considering all the pressure we had been under.
Yes.
But there came a time when, I don't think it was.
It was while you were still executive, right?
Yes. Yes.
So it must have been then.
It was in the.
Of course.
Around, I'm sure, it must have been in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. I think 69 was not the right year for that St. Louis meeting. I think it was in the 70s. If it was that thing in Coachella. I thought that really hit in the 70s, and I was just trying to figure that out for it myself. I know there was a lot of stuff in 73.
Yes, that may have been about the time when things were.
Yeah, there was that really big thing in the spring of 73 out in Coachella, and
I think you're right. I think 69 was too early on that.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have been any earlier than 71. This is not my native habitat. I don't know that I have my things here. They're all in some other places. I was the executive, Walter was an associate, I had Jenny Payne, who was in Christian education primarily. Then we had a number of people who were on our staff on a part-time basis, half of whose salaries or part of whose salaries were funded by our National Board for Homeland Ministries. And there was a kind of a procession of them. It was not only these projects, but we were doing a lot of urban projects in those days. The whole hippie movement and the runaway kids that we were involved with. And by the way, I 2 years ago I was asked to give kind of a summary of the history of our conference with two other people who were doing the very, very early years back in the 1800s and others. So I took 50 whole years from 1930 to 1980. To try to give a little summary of, I call it mid-century shaking and shaping. and the farm worker thing is involved a little bit in that, plus a lot of these other issues that were with it. I'm just in the process of having it retyped now. It's a small thing. It's not a big book or anything like that. But there may be some pertinent facts as I go over those things again that I will come to mind as I could look over those.
That'd be great.
As soon as we can get those.
Do you have my address? It was on my letter, but I don't know
that
you would have kept it.
Yes, my letter is at my desk.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Good. Well, do you think of anything else come to mind that you would want me to know about?
A lot of this has been anecdotal, I'm afraid. afraid, but and impressionable kinds of things. I wish I could have been able to do an orderly listing of dates, times, and specifically what we did. I was looking to see here what other. I mentioned meetings that Chris went to and some that I shared in with him. The one big one in Fresno at that time, an all-day meeting with the growers. I remember meeting one night when Jim Drake left Goshen and went over to Porterville. Like every good person in our order, he joined the Porterville Church. Well, the Porterville Church is one of our most agriculturally identified churches in this country. I mean, in this conference, all growers. And yet Jim joined that church, and he and Susan and entered into the life of the church there and were active in various ways. And then when Jim went out on this strike with these rose growers, oh boy, did things break loose then. And I remember going down, I was invited to come down and meet with their church council to find out why in the world the conference was supporting a man who was doing things like that right in their midst, a member of their own church. What was I going to do about it? I remember stopping in Fresno on the way going down and asking a very good friend of mine, the minister of the First Congregational Church of Fresno, a man named Paul Kirshner, a saint, a great preacher, a great spirit. I said, Paul, I need a little moral support. Would you go down with me? We've got to go into the lion's den down here in Porterville tonight. And it was just before, it was mid-December. I remember we went down there for one of the most agonizing, hottest evenings that I had ever spent in all of this. And that was early on, you know. See, that was when Jim was still, it wasn't even part of the farm worker movement. He was still part of the nursery workers people. Well, it was one of many. I remember on the way back, Paul Kirshner said, do you want to stay down here tonight or do you want to come home and stay in our house? I said, I think I want to go home, stay at your house. I don't think there's a friend in this town tonight. And on the way back, yeah, we chuckled. He's passed on since then, but he's a very forceful speaker. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, this was quite an evening. And he was highly supportive of the conference and me and all. He said, we've got Christmas coming up in a couple of weeks. And he said, we're going to talk about the baby Jesus, morning, noon, and night. And he's going to be the cutest, cuddliest, littlest baby in this world. And we're going to talk about the baby Jesus. And if anybody ever suggests that he grew up and had anything to say about justice or injustice, he's going to get it from me. He said, I need about 2 weeks of just playing little baby Jesus. But he was a staunch supporter of the whole cause that we were involved in. But he just said, I need a rest.
Yes, I can certainly appreciate that.
I think that probably I've poured all I can think of. I'll probably remember some more things after you.
Do you think of anything else that you would like for me to know about, or any particular dates or whatever that come up, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
You just send it along to my house.
Yeah, you have your address there, and I'll be very glad to that. Be anxious to see what you do and do tonight. How you put this together.
I'll be interested.
All the interviews that you have to do.
Well.